Oh my God, it's 2019, and the Illuminati haven't pressed the button yet, God forbid. Welcome back, everybody. It's MMA All Day. It's your boy, Mike Perilla. Just want to let you know, 2019, and I'm still happy to be here, and I'm happy you're here. I have a special guest with me today. I have the fruit of my loins, the progeny of my protege, my kid, Vivian.
Hi guys, what's up? How's everything? Happy New Year.
Now everyone would be like, yo, why does he have a kid in a podcast? Because my kid forcefully, painfully, has grown up in MMA. She's lived the MMA all day lifestyle. We've trained it. She's been to gyms with me, every gym I ever went to try to get some bootleg skills and clean the mats for classes and stuff. She's been there cleaning the mats with me. She's been through every phase. So she's just gonna be a cute, special guest of the episode, dropping in lovely little hints and now every now and then. Right, Viv?
Yep.
Let's just jump right into it. 2019. What's big in 2019 in the MMA world? Well, for some reason, and this is kind of like really jocking my itch. Now, if for those of you who don't know, I've never done this before, but me and my kid will be in the background whipping the shit out of each other in EA UFC 3. And if you hear her screaming, it's because I'm whipping that booty, so you know. So as I was saying, we're discussing, and I was talking to her, and I was like, damn, this point needs to be really put out there, is how I'm hearing that Israel Adesanya, and I keep on hearing this over and over, is just primed for a title shot if he beats Anderson. I haven't been the champion or in title contention or in the top tier of the division in about 5-6 years, Silva. Because from what I remember, last time he was champ was 2012. There was a black guy in office, and you know, UFC was doing good on Fox. Oh, the body kick.
Oh my God.
And now all of a sudden, Anderson Silva, who I'm not really the same guy, I'm kind of a fraction of a speed slower, and while I'm not getting decimated yet, I'm losing to the likes of, you know, Michael Bisping and Derek Brunson. So, all of a sudden, if Israel Adesanya, who has yet to be tested on the ground, has yet to fight a grappler like Paulo Costa, Yoel Romero, shit, I even missed Luke Rockhold at this point. All of a sudden, oh God, if he can get past, which we all know he's supposed to. We all know he's being sacrificed to Silva's being sacrificed to this kid. That means he's ready for a title shot, even though I'm betting my money somewhere down the road, if he fought Paulo Costa, it wouldn't be pretty. If it got to the ground, or if there was a wrestling Moore-esque type fight, where it was more embracing the grind, clinching, dirty boxing, that type of stuff. Oh, your leg is gone.
Oh, yeah, mine.
Your body is gone, too. Get up. I'll just dive right in. Viv, any points you'd like to make so far about that Israel Adesanya thing?
I actually quite agree with you, because the fact is, in all of Israel's fights, he has not found or fought a good grappler yet. And since I haven't seen him have a ground game, it's like, It's just, you know, it's Silva was good for a while. What do you think?
I feel where you're coming from, because again, everything you've seen is because I showed you. He's a middleweight, and to comparison to someone like Jacare, he doesn't have a ground game. Mm-hmm. In comparison to, I'm just going to say it, and I know it's like, oh, well, you know, move on. He's the Mirko Krokop prototype. He's a K-1 striker prototype. Gokhan Saki, Czech Congo, Yasaki. Who else tried to fight MMA? And Tyrone Spung. He's not in the UFC, even though he's a K-1 level god. You spend so many decades learning the intricacies of striking. There's something missing from grappling. And I don't care how long you've trained. If you compare it into someone like Jacare, there, it'd be like you grappling me, maybe. You know, like it. They're just, there's certain, just like Jacare will never be able to reach the level of striking that Adesanya understands, Adesanya will never be able to understand the grappling. And then it's like, oh, but that's the point of mixed martial arts. You know, you find the middle ground. And I understand that. But I've noticed, and I'm going to use the ultimate prototype, Mirko Krokop, right leg hospital, left leg cemetery, okay? He figured a way how to sprawl. His sprawl was beautiful. What happened when he fought a guy on Nog's caliber, though? Nog, who had some boxing, still got decimated, but goddamn, could he take a shot. What happened when Nog finally got it to the ground? Nog survived the stand-up game for a round and a half. Never mind. Now, again, it's Nog. Most guys would have got knocked out from a kick by Krokop. But he still withstood the wear. He understood and had the wherewithal to survive the onslaught in the early. And he Hail Mary'd that takedown. Because we all know Big Nog is not known for his wrestling. The man can't even spell double leg. And not, I'm not trying to be funny on his education. I'm just saying, in the realm of his jiu-jitsu, it's more like they took him down or they tripped him and he pulled him into the guard and his submission magician magic book was just always there ready in case they took him. That's why his stand-up was so good. He had no fear of the takedown. So he knew, well, yeah, you could. I'm not going to take you down. If you try to take me down, and I think that's not a lie because I remember him facing a Japanese man who had excellent tattoos. I can't remember his name. I think it was Hakoi, Hantoi. It was a Japanese guy with a crazy mullet, a mohawk. Nog tripped him down. It wasn't like he was in danger. He just went for the trip. He had some trips, but the double leg he pulled on Krokop, Hail Mary. And what happened? It landed, and about 30 seconds later, Krokop is doing the tap dance with his fingers. He survived long enough to get him on the ground, but Krokop couldn't survive to fight the ground until the next round. That rhymes. That's how you know it's true. Israel Adesanya, I'm predicting, is going to have the same fate. That's why they're keeping him away from Yoel Romero. That's why they're keeping him away from Paulo Costa. That's why they're keeping him away from Souza. That's why they're happy as fuck that, I'm sorry, pardon my French. That's why they're happy Gegard Mousasi, the real, I believe, king of the middleweight division, that should have been, he would have took Whitaker out. I'm sorry. Whitaker has great stand-up, but Whitaker has no, please tell me the last submission win Whitaker has. Go ahead, I'll wait. Okay. Whitaker has great striking for MMA, but I'm not going to say Whitaker has great striking. It's like Yoel Romero. Yoel Romero doesn't have great striking. He just has great explosive animalistic body mass that anything he does is hurled with the projection of a quantum freaking gun. But technically, Yoel Romero is kind of sloppy and horrible to look at. But, yo, whatever works. My man, I'm not trying to be a striking judge. I'm just saying, if you put Yoel Romero and you're like, okay, show me, you know, you versus, oh my God, the guy walks around at 225 pounds. You versus Ernesto Hoost, okay? You versus Michael McDonald of old K1. Just you, just understanding. You versus you in comparison, and I know you can't compare, but let's just pretend anyway. If Thanos can snap half of the universe and it's believable, y'all can listen to me and be with me in the believable range too. Let's compare his striking to like Rico Vanderhoot, the glory heavyweight champion. There's just a different technical precision. Robert Whittaker is a great MMA striker, but I don't think he's leagues above like Gegard Mousasi. He damn sure isn't leagues above Yoel Romero, because I believe both fights were a draw. I'm not saying Romero won, but the rounds that he did get him in danger, and the way he had him in danger, and certain other moments, I could say there, it was. I could see a draw, but there. It's the same thing with Tyrone Woodley and Stephen Thompson. Tyrone Woodley didn't beat Stephen Thompson that second fight. It was just the same outcome than the first fight. But the judges and probably UFC was like, listen, we need a winner. So we got to pick one. We'll go with the champ. That's like that unwritten rule in boxing. If it's really close, you'll give it to the... You're supposed to give it to the champ because the other guy didn't really take it. He just didn't really technically look that bad losing either. He didn't lose. He didn't win. They're even. There's nobody, there's no one that stands out in the UFC anymore. And that's why everyone is like licking Adesanya's jockstrap now. Because he stands out. He got this black man swag with his New Zealand Auckland accent. He got some swag to him. He kind of think he's kind of hood. So he makes boisterous claims and his striking technique is clean cut and pure. But he's not Anderson Silva. Why? Because Anderson Silva got heel hooked and triangle chokehold. Then he ran to Black House and he gave everyone a black and blue house after because he actually had a ground game. He submitted people. He submitted Travis Luter. You know, let's take away the fact Travis Luter was, you know, the worst weight cut ever in history. But Travis Luter still was a black belt and Anderson Silva submitted him. He has a ground game. Let me know when Israel Adesanya gets that for Christmas. Let me know. Did that come in during Kwanzaa? Hanukkah? Like, I haven't seen it really come in yet. Maybe Amazon is mailing it and it just hasn't come yet. And I'm going to hold my breath and he has all the potential to prove me wrong. I mean, who am I except some guy in his living room talking about MMA with his kid while I beat her ass in an MMA video game? I mean, what do I really know? You know, never mind the fact in actuality, low-key, I followed the illest code ever where I've actually worked my way with literally cleaning mats and cleaning cars and reupholstering people's houses if I had to get access to an MMA gym, a boxing gym, private lessons, drills. I mean, you know, what do I really know? And for the most part, if a normal guy tried to step to me, you'd get your feelings hurt. You'd get crushed. You know, so, but what, I'm not knocking people out, so take my shit with a grain of salt. The point is, though, from what we've seen, again, I will name other stylistically focused strikers. Gokhan Saki, Mirko Krokop, Mark Hunt. People love Mark Hunt. My man can't spell guard, okay? And I'm not talking education. I just mean in their application of fight IQ. Mark Hunt, the last submission Mark Hunt went for was that Kimura on Fedor. I mean, and his striking was always good enough against the lesser competition. What happened against JDS? What happened against Fedor? What happened against Sean Mafucking Corkle? What happened against Stipe? You, for that upper echelon, you gotta have the Swiss Army. You need to be stylistically the Swiss Army knife. You got your spoon, your fork, your spork, your knife, your toe picker, your toe cleaner, your nose picker. You have your butt scratcher, your butt sniffer. It just got all the wide range of things. Okay? I'm even going to go as far as to say, and I know people will be like, oh, you're holding on. That's why I feel like the current greatest supposed heavyweight, Cain, would lose to the last current greatest heavyweight, Fedor. Cain don't apply submissions in real time, in real combat. Again, I call Cain, his submission is by attrition. He's the attrition magician. That's what Khabib is. That's what Cormier is. I mean, Khabib has a ground game. Don't get me wrong. But Khabib's not going for Gogo Plata's, Omoplata's, loop chokes, Ezekiel choke. So Khabib is going for pound and ground, molest, detest. He's just taking your manhood and putting it in your face. And then if it's there, he'll just strangle you. Or maybe he'll crank your arm. But like knee bar, heel hook, body lock, the diversity of a true submissioner. Not really there. His main strength is Khabib has just trained for an unheard of length in herd of condition, which is the high altitude Caucasus Mountains. And he, I mean, Khabib was training probably there when he was in the womb. His mom probably went up in the mountains and saw a double takedown, and then Khabib was like choking the placenta or something. Like, let's just be real here. Khabib was born for this. Cormier, great, great, great workout guy. Great work ethic. Attrition magician. Why did John Jones beat him, though? I mean, and everyone's going to scream Tyrannoball. I get it. But let's just say in the fight. A fight IQ. Them oblique kicks. Cormier's not really an amazing kicker. He can throw a high kick, low kick, but he's not throwing Saenchai kicks. He hasn't mastered the kicking game. He hasn't mastered the submission game. I know he's a wrestler, and I know wrestlers have high-level ground control, but they do seem to sometimes lack high-level ground finishing maneuvers. It's just neck cranks and arm cranks. And they don't have... I'm not trying to be like jiu-jitsu. These guys, wrestling really is the best premise to come in with. You just see it time and time again. But you also see they're more just well-conditioned, and no one can keep up with the pace. I feel as if a jiu-jitsu academy applied the wrestling principle, it might be more one-sided, with jiu-jitsu reemerging as the dominant style. It's an important part of ground fighting. It's just when everyone's a PED physical specimen, the premise becomes who can hold the position more and not who's going for things more. I feel. Again, what do I know, though? With that being said, I again state, this whole push for Israel Adesanya is just because they want to get them ticket sales in Auckland, and they like his swag, and they're like, all right, he's there. Robert Whittaker's Australian. Them two cats would sell out quicker than Kanye West sold his moms out to get the illuminated bump up. Like, we just, it's going to be fast. It's going to be swift. You know what I'm saying? So, because it's the Conor McGregor factor. It's the Ronda Rousey factor. These cats are not real. They're not really the GOAT. They're not really the best of all time. They're only saying these declarations because if they're like, if we say it, people will believe it. They'll tune in. And we already locked in the 5 pay-per-view sales before we actually pitted him against someone, because we had to, that actually could beat him. Conor was the greatest featherweight of all time, even though he cut 40 pounds of himself. He wasn't really a featherweight. None of these chance. Khabib walks around at 200 pounds, and he fights at 155. Oh, that's why he manhandles everyone. He's really a fucking middleweight. I'm sorry, he's technically a light heavyweight if he weighs 200 pounds. He's just 5 pounds below the heavyweight limit, light heavyweight limit. John Jones is really a heavyweight. Cormier is really a heavyweight. Rockhold is really a light heavyweight. That's why he's making these boisterous claims. John Jones is hiding from me. Dog, you're hiding from the fact you're mentally done. You're also hiding from the fact you never knew how to really box. Your hands were shit. It was your left body kick, high kick, you moving to the outside, and you having great ground and jiu-jitsu. Luke Rockhold is the one wrestler I would say he had beautiful wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Beautiful. But his hands were trash. That punch he threw at Bisping before Bisping knocks him out is the worst fucking right hand. My daughter left real quick. That's why I can get away with this. We haven't heard her for a while. She was like, you're not giving me a window. It is the worst way to throw a right hand. He steps with his rear leg, switches, and it's not like he's setting up the Fitzsimmons shift. He just switches, throws that right hand, doesn't bring it back. It drops below a little bit, and Bisping comes right over the top. And it wasn't a left hook. It was an overhand left that really caught him. Classic, you don't know how to throw hands, and I ate your soul. But you're calling, no, he's just trying to get hype because he knows he'll never get a middleweight title. And he'll, if he had to fight the fifth, fourth, third, second light heavyweight, he's not making it past Smith to me. He's not making it past Gus. But you're calling out John Jones. Yeah, totally believable. Yeah. Totally believable. Yeah. It's because they want to sell you the shake before the sizzle runs out. Adesanya, Rousey, Cyborg. Let's just jump to that. Vivian, come here, girl. We're going to talk about female MMA. Get your booty in here.
Yes.
Oh, you in the kitchen. Okay. I want to see, you saw the Cyborg fight?
With Nunes?
Yes.
Yes.
Good job. Okay. Here's why Cyborg really lost. Because this was the first time Cyborg didn't have the I'm kind of mannish. Advantage over everyone. And I know this is 2018 and you got to be worried because everyone's easily offended. And instead of letting people be offended and dealing with that and realizing the reason why they're offensive is some unwanted perception that they don't want to realize within themselves. And I just resonated with what I'm saying. I have to be worried about saying anything. Fuck that. I don't care. Sorry, Viv. Cover your ears real quick. Thank you. Daddy has to get this out. I might be a bad parent. I may now have Dyfus called on me. I've seen people on the internet call family services for someone giving their kid an ice cream. Who knows? I don't care. I'm going to say Cyborg was beating everyone because she has the body frame. You ever notice how Cyborg and Vander Silva are never in the same room? You ever notice that? They're never in the same room. I've never seen them together in a picture. We need to get that fixed. Until that, I believe that's I think Dana White really blew up some Illuminati conspiracy. That's really Vanderlei, okay? That's Vanderlei Silva, and he resurged his career, okay? He just did the Fallon Fox. He tucks it in and gets a wig. And you think she looks like a man because of, like, she has upper, like, I'm Puerto Rican. I've seen a lot of Puerto Rican chicks that the old ladies, they got thick mustache on the upper lip. Thick. They're women. They had kids. They got boobs and a vagina. But they got that thick mustache. Thick. It's a man-ish look. Cyborg has a man-ish neck. She has man-ish hands. A man-ish feet. She has a man-ish voice. Respect me. But like, and I know it's like, damn, you're going hard. But what do these things really say? She used to train in Shootabox, which is in Brazil. Shootabox that was in Pride smoking people. Where in Brazil to start a steroid cycle in the 90s and early 2000s, the basic package was $50. Steven Quadros and Bas Rutten were talking about this on one podcast. I can't even remember because, God, this was like in 2001. It was on ShareDog. But it was true and I was like, damn. That's why it's easy access for these fighters. Look at Cyborg's neck. I don't care if she's not juicing no more. What about the 10 plus years she wasn't? The 15, 14 years she was in the UFC. You think she wasn't juicing then? And there's no leftover residual improvement to her bone structure, muscle density, bone density? Come on now. Y'all smoking crack. That's like, oh, trans, a woman can do what a man can do. That's why, when you hear these domestic violence situations involving, mind you, UFC women fighters versus their boyfriends, I haven't heard, and I'm not trying to like crap on Rachel Ostrovich, but I didn't hear that she beat up her boyfriend. I heard that he almost killed her. And I believe they're both UFC fighters. A man with MMA skill versus a woman with MMA skill, and it's wrong. Domestic violence, I just want to say, I am disgusted by. I would gladly piss in his Gatorade. Gladly. Gladly. I have no respect for men that put their hands on women. Closed-fisted, open hand, grabbing hair, all that. Listen, just get out. Leave her, get out. If she destroys your stuff, let that go. Trust me. But I'm just using as a pinpoint. If a woman can do exactly what a man can do, and there's no difference, why are these female fighters getting beat up severely by their boyfriend fighters? There's obviously a difference in bone density, muscle structure, where the skill, it doesn't matter if she is Bruce Lee. The size is too much. Why did Cyborg look so dominant? It wasn't because she's technically proficient. Because Vivian, Cyborg isn't technically proficient. You understand that?
Yes, yeah, I'm much aware of that. She just has serious punching
power. She has power.
She has a whole lot. She's a one-hitter quitter.
One-hitter quitter. Cyborg touches you, you're going to sleep. You ever notice, though, that Cyborg looks like a carbon copy of her ex-husband? The original Cyborg Santos? R.I.P. to his skull, by the way. But their styles are, the way they throw punches is basically the same. So what happened? Why did she lose Amanda Nunes? Because she finally met a woman. Side note, Amanda Nunes is kind of mannish. She's what we would call a stud. I don't know if this is still PC. They used to call them dykes in the hood. Butches. She's very mannish. There's no femininity in her. She has like maybe an extra testosterone molecule. She may have a picogram of testosterone more than everyone else. That's a little John Jones snide. But Amanda Nunes doesn't look as demure as Misha Tate. And when they fought, it looked like Misha Tate didn't belong in that ring with Amanda Nunes. When she fought Ronda Rousey, it didn't look like she belonged in that ring with Nunes. The only one, and this don't mean nothing because I'm kind of going against my own theory, but it's rare, sexy Kat Zingano with her luscious thickness. She has seemed to have more thickness and muscle mass to hold off the physical strength and aggression of Nunes. I don't know about now because Megan Anderson's gorgeous toe. I'm sorry. Megan Anderson and Kat Zingano was the sexiest MMA fight I ever saw. I don't care about the weird. I don't care about the weirdness. And I'm great. My kid has her headphones on. She's on the laptop. I just tap her when I want her in because I know I can say crazy stuff. She's looking at me like, Dad, what are you saying? If only you knew, child. If only you knew. Viv, you with me?
Yeah,
what's up? Okay, I was talking Megan Anderson versus Kat Zingano fight.
Oh, Zingano, yeah.
Right. Remember how thick Kat Zingano looked compared to Megan Anderson?
Yeah, muscle density-wise, yes.
She was thick.
Even though Megan was taller, she had more muscle density when it came to, like, you know, thickness as well.
That's why I believe Kat Zingano beat Nunes.
Yeah, it's a very possible theory. Yes.
Probable.
Probable theory.
Anything's possible. That thickness. Why was Ronda Rousey beating all these chicks? Because she was a little more thicker. Now, I'm not saying she's a lesbian or anything like that. I'm not saying every woman who has muscle is a lesbian. But when you look at Amanda Nunes, who is lesbian, and Cyborg, who, on a side note, and I'm not trying to, but you know, Cyborg is married to the guy, the MMA fighter who's famous for breaking his manhood in Thailand. Y'all can look this up. I didn't make this up. He literally had a sexual encounter that resulted in a fractured penis, and he had to get it fixed. This is the man that married Cyborg. I just... Take that for what you will. I'm not trying to imply it, but that just screams beard. So, these two females at the top of the female movement kind of have mannish qualities that made them just stand above head and shoulders of everyone else. So when they fought each other and a slugfest ensued, Amanda Nunes, the longer, taller fighter, landed first because Cyborg used no slipping, no parrying, no head movement. It was just a shootout. And what happens when two people have a shootout? It's really a luck of the draw. Who you take away more of chance of you controlling it than you falling victim to the uncontrolled of it. And Cyborg reverted to her old form. She's a brawler. She wasn't the greatest woman MMA fighter because she had this wide variety of skill. It's because she punched like a man. She fought like a man. She just bombarded. Holly Holmes was like a boring fight. Just Holly couldn't, for every two Holly landed that kind of maybe affected Cyborg, but not really, Cyborg would land one and you would see Holly think back to when she was five picking flowers in her mind. Like, it took her out the Matrix and she had to bring it back. You just saw the impact was always more pronounced on Holly than Cyborg. And Holly is a known boxing champion. It looked like she had no business being in the ring with Cyborg. Like, it wasn't like, oh shit, she has her hurt. It wasn't like it was just back and forth, Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker seesaw. It was just Holly going, doing those, kya, kya. Holly doing that, keep away, do something, keep away. Holly fights really, really scared. Holly is the female Uriah Hall. She thinks too much. You see it. Cyborg is no thought, all I will destroy you. I am the champion. And you could see that. It's another sizzle and shake. Cyborg wasn't the greatest MMA fighter, woman's MMA fighter. I think that still goes to Megumi Fuji. And I don't know if I'm saying the name correctly, but she was a Josh Barnett product. That may be the greatest female MMA fighter. But you never hear her name. It's Ronda, I'm kind of pretty, so guys want to maybe think about me sexually, and that's what sells me Rousey. Because in reality, Ronda Rousey was a rush to the top in a fledgling division. She was the first Hoist Gracie. Women's MMA couldn't keep up with her pedigree because she was doing judo since the age of 10. And she was physically gifted. And she stayed away from Cyborg because if you remember, she was a 145er in Strikeforce too until UFC created the Bantam 135 because they kind of knew Cyborg couldn't cut down to that. They knew that. Again, it's like the first UFC event. Okay, it was all staged by the Gracies, and they picked the dudes like Kevin Rossier and Zane Frazier and the other guys that you're like, really? Those are the best fighters willing to fight bare knuckle? The only real legitimate guy was Ken Shamrock. And granted, Hoist took him out. Great. But it wasn't like Hoist was thrown with eight other, well, there was a couple gimme fights. I mean, Fred Idish, Ron Van Cleef. I mean, come on, guys. I know the pickings were slim, but it was still staged by a Gracie, in my opinion. I never trusted it. Once I found that out, it's like when you find out the Declaration of Independence and the line, all men were created equal, was written by a bunch of guys that had slaves and were ripping teeth out their slaves' mouth for their own dentures. Like, if you think that the Constitution gives you rights and it was written by dudes who wrote that shit while they were torturing and abusing other human beings, y'all not missing the color, y'all missing the color of the Kool-Aid here. You're not getting the right flavor. It's the same thing with UFC and MMA. Y'all falling for the hype. There's no one that's really standing out no more legitimately. Conor was a fraud. Shit, Randy Couture might have been a fraud, man. Freezing his blood, then putting it back in his body. He wasn't fighting the heavyweights of pride. When Randy Couture and Tim Sylvia and Rich Franklin and all those guys who were the early 2000s big names, those are the guys that pride didn't have. What happened when Chuck Liddell went over with pride? He got lucky with that Overeem fight, kind of. Mesger he beat. What happened when he finally beat Rampage, someone who was more technically proficient? Rampage dusted him. This is what I'm saying. Don't fall for the hype. Your boy right here. I'm not saying I know everything, but I damn sure know enough to maybe put you on the right track and be like, wow, that does make sense. Hey, Viv, you still with me?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I was just talking about the state of the... Remember how Dad says how some of these guys look like the way UFC promotes them?
Yes, yes.
They're kind of fraudulent?
Yes.
Do you ever notice that? Like, did Ronda Rousey, and you've done boxing, you do boxing.
Yes.
Remember when Ronda Rousey used to do her boxing stance?
Yeah.
Did that look like a boxing stance?
No. Nope. Mm-mm.
You know who she reminded me of? Hmm. The guy who plays Daredevil. Remember the Netflix show Daredevil? When Daredevil would punch the bag and the way he would hold his hands?
God. He did not.
He did, that was the Ronda Rousey stance.
Yes, that's actually
it was, yeah. Ronda Rousey's boxing stance is the same stance done by an actor in the show Daredevil, Charlie Cox. Okay? That's how you know she didn't know how to box. But everyone swore she could beat male boxers. She could beat female. Just like, yeah, all right. Y'all believe that hype. Because if you hear it enough, it must be true. And the people in power know that psychological trick. They do it all the time. Tekashi 6ix9ine is a rapper and not a gay pop star. Like, all right, cool. Cool. The boy wearing Skittles in his hair. Man, Tekashi 6ix9ine is probably really Michael Jackson's son. He probably not even really prison. The government pumping out these rap stars like Korean governments pump out pop stars. MMA is pumping out lies. I don't know all the answers, but I damn sure know the questions to ask. So I'm telling you, stay with your boy right here. Viv, is there anything you'd like to say? Take your headphones off, Viv. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything you'd like to say to the Doring fans out here? All two of them?
Well, mostly I'd like to say I hope everybody, you know, has a great day. I hope everybody has had a great New Year and stuff. I'm sorry. Sorry, uh-huh. The video. And,
Come on.
Cut this up, yeah. Well, I mean, Dad's right. It is kind of correct. You know, they pump out fighters too fast, even though the fighters haven't really run into proper opponents to prove and test their worth. So that's my opinion. And I hope everybody has a great day. We'll see you next time.
And with that, folks, I'm going to go back to whipping her ass in this game. Remember, folks, it's better to be the predator than it ever is to be the prey. Giddy up. Oh my God, it's 2019, and the Illuminati haven't pressed the button yet, God forbid. Welcome back, everybody. It's MMA all day. It's your boy, Mike Perilla. Just want to let you know, 2019, and I'm still happy to be here, and I'm happy you're here. I have a special guest with me today. I have the fruit of my loins, the progeny of my protege, my kid, Vivian.
Hi guys, what's up? How's everything? Happy New Year.
Now everyone would be like, yo, why does he have a kid in a podcast? Because my kid forcefully, painfully, has grown up in MMA. She's lived the MMA all day lifestyle. We've trained it. She's been to gyms with me, every gym I ever went to try to get some bootleg skills and clean the mats for classes and stuff. She's been there cleaning the mats with me. She's been through every phase. So she's just gonna be a cute special guest of the episode, dropping in lovely little hints and now every now and then. Right, Viv?
Yep.
Let's just jump right into it. 2019. What's big in 2019 in the MMA world? Well, for some reason, and this is kind of like really jocking my itch. Now, if for those of you who don't know, I've never done this before, but me and my kid will be in the background whipping the shit out of each other in EA UFC 3. And if you hear her screaming, it's because I'm whipping that booty, so you know. So as I was saying, we're discussing, and I was talking to her, and I was like, damn, this point needs to be really put out there, is how I'm hearing that Israel Adesanya, and I keep on hearing this over and over, is just primed for a title shot if he beats Anderson. I haven't been the champion or in title contention or in the top tier of the division in about 5-6 years, Silva. Because from what I remember, last time he was champ was 2012. There was a black guy in office, and you know, UFC was doing good on Fox. Oh, the body kick.
Oh my God.
And now all of a sudden, Anderson Silva, who I'm not really the same guy, I'm kind of a fraction of a speed slower, and while I'm not getting decimated yet, I'm losing to the likes of, you know, Michael Bisping and Derek Brunson. So, all of a sudden, if Israel Adesanya, who has yet to be tested on the ground, has yet to fight a grappler like Paulo Costa, Yoel Romero, shit, I even missed Luke Rockhold at this point. All of a sudden, oh God, if he can get past, which we all know he's supposed to. We all know he's being sacrificed to Silva's being sacrificed to this kid. That means he's ready for a title shot, even though I'm betting my money somewhere down the road, if he fought Paulo Costa, it wouldn't be pretty. If it got to the ground, or if there was a wrestling more-esque type fight, where it was more embracing the grind, clinching, dirty boxing, that type of stuff. Oh, your leg is gone.
Oh, yeah, mine.
Your body is gone, too. Get up. You know, I'll just dive right in. Viv, any points you'd like to make so far about that Israel Adesanya thing?
I actually quite agree with you because the fact is, in all of Israel's fights, he has not found or fought a good grappler yet. And since I haven't seen him have a ground game, it's like... It's just, you know, Silva was good for a while. What do you think?
I feel where you're coming from, because again, everything you've seen is because I showed you. In comparison to like, he's a middleweight, and to comparison to someone like Jacare, he doesn't have a ground game. Mm-hmm. In comparison to, I'm just going to say it, and I know it's like, oh, well, you know, move on. He's the Mirko Krokop prototype. He's a K-1 striker prototype. Go Kansaki, Czech Congo, Yasaki. Who else tried to fight MMA? And Tyrone Spung. He's not in the UFC, even though he's a K-1 level god. You spend so many decades learning the intricacies of striking. There's something missing from grappling. And I don't care how long you've trained. Again, if you compare it into someone like Jacare, it'd be like you grappling me, maybe. You know, like just like Jacare will never be able to reach the level of striking that Adesanya understands, uh-huh. Adesanya will never be able to understand the grappling. And then it's like, oh, but that's the point of mixed martial arts. You know, you find the middle ground. And I understand that. But I've noticed, and I'm going to use the ultimate prototype, Mirko Krokop, right leg hospital, left leg cemetery. Okay? He figured a way how to sprawl. His sprawl was beautiful. What happened when he fought a guy on Nog's caliber, though? Nog, who had some boxing, still got decimated, but goddamn, could he take a shot. What happened when Nog finally got it to the ground? Nog survived the stand-up game for a round and a half. Never mind. Now, again, it's Nog. Most guys would have got knocked out from a kick by Krokop. But he still withstood he understood and had the wherewithal to survive the onslaught in the early. And he Hail Mary'd that takedown. Because we all know Big Nog is not known for his wrestling. The man can't even spell double leg. And I'm not trying to be funny on his education. I'm just saying, in the realm of his jiu-jitsu, it's more like they took him down or they tripped him and he pulled him into the guard and his submission magician magic book was just always there ready in case they took him. That's why his stand-up was so good. He had no fear of the takedown. So he knew, well, yeah, you could. I'm not gonna take you down. If you try to take me down, and I think that's not a lie, because I remember him facing a Japanese man who had excellent tattoos. I can't remember his name. I think it was Hantoi. It was a Japanese guy with a crazy mullet, a mohawk. Nog tripped him down. It wasn't like he was in danger. He just went for the trip. He had some trips, but the double leg he pulled on Krokop, Hail Mary. And what happened? It landed, and about 30 seconds later, Krokop is doing the tap dance with his fingers. He survived long enough to get him on the ground, but Krokop couldn't survive to fight the ground until the next round. That rhymes. That's how you know it's true. Israel Adesanya, I'm predicting, is going to have the same fate. That's why they're keeping him away from Yoel Romero. That's why they're keeping him away from Paulo Costa. That's why they're keeping him away from Souza. That's why they're happy as fuck that, I'm sorry, pardon my French. That's why they're happy Gegard Mousasi, the real, I believe, king of the middleweight division, that should have been, he would have took Whitaker out. I'm sorry. Whitaker has great stand-up, but Whitaker has no, please tell me the last submission win Whitaker has. Go ahead, I'll wait. Okay. Whitaker has great striking for MMA, but I'm not going to say Whittaker has great striking. It's like Yoel Romero. Yoel Romero doesn't have great striking. He just has great explosive animalistic body mass that anything he does is hurled with the projection of a quantum freaking gun. But technically, Yoel Romero is kind of sloppy and horrible to look at. But, yo, whatever works. My man, I'm not trying to be a striking judge. I'm just saying, if you put Yoel Romero and you're like, okay, show me, you know, you versus, oh my God, the guy walks around at 225 pounds. You versus Ernesto Hoost, okay? You versus Michael McDonald of old K1. Just you, just understanding. You versus, you in comparison, and I know you can't compare, but let's just pretend anyway. If Thanos can snap half of the universe and it's believable, y'all can listen to me and be with me in the believable range too. Let's compare his striking to like Rico Vanderhoot, the glory heavyweight champion. There's just a different technical precision. Robert Whittaker is a great MMA striker, but I don't think he's leagues above, like, Gegard Mousasi. He damn sure isn't leagues above Yoel Romero, because I believe both fights were a draw. I'm not saying Romero won, but the rounds that he did get him in danger, and the way he had him in danger, and certain other moments, I could say that it was, I could see a draw. But there, it's the same thing with Tyrone Woodley and Stephen Thompson. Tyrone Woodley didn't beat Stephen Thompson that second fight. It was just the same outcome than the first fight, but the judges and probably UFC was like, listen, we need a winner. So we got to pick one. We'll go with the champ. That's like that unwritten rule in boxing. If it's really close, you'll give it to the, you're supposed to give it to the champ because the other guy didn't really take it. He just didn't really technically look that bad losing either. He didn't lose. He didn't win. They're even. There's nobody, there's no one that stands out in the UFC anymore. And that's why everyone is like licking Adesanya's jockstrap now. Because he stands out. He got this black man swag with his New Zealand Auckland accent. He got some swag to him. He kind of think he's kind of hood. So he makes boisterous claims and his striking technique is clean, cut, and pure. But he's not Anderson Silva. Why? Because Anderson Silva got heel hooked and triangle choke cold. Then he ran to Black House and he gave everyone a black and blue house after because he actually had a ground game. He submitted people. He submitted Travis Luter. You know, let's take away the fact Travis Luter was, you know, the worst weight cut ever in history. But Travis Luter still was a black belt and Anderson Silva submitted him. He has a ground game. Let me know when Israel Adesanya gets that for Christmas. Let me know. Did that come in during Kwanzaa? Hanukkah? Like, I haven't seen it really come in yet. Maybe Amazon is mailing it and it just hasn't come yet. And I'm going to hold my breath and he has all the potential to prove me wrong. I mean, who am I except some guy in his living room talking about MMA with his kid while I beat her ass in an MMA video game? I mean, what do I really know? You know, never mind the fact in actuality, low key, I followed the illest code ever where I've actually worked my way with literally cleaning mats and cleaning cars and reupholstering people's houses if I had to get access to an MMA gym, a boxing gym, private lessons, drills. I mean, you know, what do I really know? And for the most part, if a normal guy tried to step to me, you'd get your feelings hurt. You'd get crushed. You know, so, but what, I'm not knocking people out, so take my shit with a grain of salt. The point is, though, from what we've seen, again, I will name other stylistically focused strikers. Gokhan Saki, Mirko Krokop, Mark Hunt. People love Mark Hunt. My man can't spell guard, okay? And I'm not talking education. I just mean in their application of fight IQ. Mark Hunt, the last submission Mark Hunt went for was that Kimura on Fedor. I mean, And his striking was always good enough against the lesser competition. What happened against JDS? What happened against Fedor? What happened against Sean Mafucking Corkle? What happened against Stipe? You, for that upper echelon, you got to have the Swiss Army. You need to be stylistically the Swiss Army knife. You got your spoon, your fork, your spork, your knife, your toe picker, your toe cleaner, your nose picker. You have your butt scratcher, your butt sniffer. It just got all the wide range of things. Okay? I'm even going to go as far as to say, and I know people will be like, oh, you're holding on. That's why I feel like the current greatest supposed heavyweight, Kane, would lose to the last current greatest heavyweight, Fedor. Kane don't apply submissions in real time, in real combat. Again, I call Kane, his submission is by attrition. He's the attrition magician. That's what Khabib is. That's what Cormier is. I mean, Khabib has a ground game, don't get me wrong. But Khabib's not going for Gogo Plata's, Omoplata's, Luke chokes, Ezekiel choke. So Khabib is going for pound and ground, molest, detest. He's just taking your manhood and putting it in your face. And then if it's there, he'll just strangle you. Or maybe he'll crank your arm. But like knee bar, heel hook, body lock, the diversity of a true submissioner. Not really there. His main strength is Khabib has just trained for an unheard of length in an unheard of condition, which is the high altitude Caucasus Mountains. And Khabib was training probably there when he was in the womb. His mom probably went up in the mountains and saw a double takedown, and then Khabib was like choking the placenta or something. Like, let's just be real here. Khabib was born for this. Cormier. Great, great, great workout guy. Great work ethic. Attrition magician. Why did John Jones beat him, though? I mean, and everyone's going to scream Tirana Ball. I get it. But let's just say in the fight. A fight IQ. Them oblique kicks. Cormier's not really an amazing kicker. He can throw a high kick, low kick, but he's not throwing Saenchai kicks. He hasn't mastered the kicking game. He hasn't mastered the submission game. I know he's a wrestler, and I know wrestlers have high-level ground control, but they do seem to sometimes lack high-level ground finishing maneuvers. It's just neck cranks and arm cranks. And they don't have... I'm not trying to be like jiu-jitsu. These guys... Wrestling really is the best premise to come in with. You just see it time and time again. But you also see they're more just well-conditioned, and no one can keep up with the pace. I feel as if a jiu-jitsu academy applied the wrestling principle, it might be more one-sided, with jiu-jitsu reemerging as the dominant style. It's an important part of ground fighting. It's just when everyone's a PED... physical specimen, the premise becomes who can hold the position more and not who's going for things more. I feel. Again, what do I know, though? With that being said, I again state, this whole push for Israel Adesanya is just because they want to get them ticket sales in Auckland, and they like his swag, and they're like, all right, he's there. Robert Whittaker's Australian. Them two cats would sell out quicker than Kanye West sold his mom's out to get the illuminated bump up. Like, it's going to be fast. It's going to be swift. You know what I'm saying? So, because it's the Conor McGregor factor. It's the Ronda Rousey factor. These cats are not real. They're not really the GOAT. They're not really the best of all time. They're only saying these declarations because if we say it, people will believe it, they'll tune in. And we already locked in the 5 pay-per-view sales before we actually pitted him against someone, because we had to, that actually could beat him. Conor was the greatest featherweight of all time, even though he cut 40 pounds of himself. He wasn't really a featherweight. None of these chance. Khabib walks around at 200 pounds, and he fights at 155. Oh, that's why he manhandles everyone. He's really a fucking middleweight. I'm sorry, he's technically a light heavyweight if he weighs 200 pounds. He's just 5 pounds below the heavyweight limit, light heavyweight limit. John Jones is really a heavyweight. Cormier is really a heavyweight. Rockhold is really a light heavyweight. That's why he's making these boisterous claims. John Jones is hiding from me. Dog, you're hiding from the fact you're mentally done. You're also hiding from the fact you never knew how to really box. Your hands were shit. It was your left body kick, high kick, you moving to the outside, and you having great ground and jiu-jitsu. You were, Luke Rockhold is the one wrestler I would say he had beautiful wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Beautiful. But his hands were trash. That punch he threw at Bisping before Bisping knocks him out is the worst fucking right hand. My daughter left real quick. That's why I can get away with this. We haven't heard her for a while. She was like, you're not giving me a window. It is the worst way to throw a right hand. He steps with his rear leg, switches, and it's not like he's setting up the Fitzsimmons shift. He just switches, throws that right hand, doesn't bring it back. It drops below a little bit, and Bisping comes right over the top. And it wasn't a left hook. It was an overhand left that really caught him. Classic, you don't know how to throw hands, and I ate your soul. But you're calling, no, he's just trying to get hype because he knows he'll never get a middleweight title. And if he had to fight the fifth, fourth, third, second light heavyweight, he's not making it past Smith to me. He's not making it past Gus. But you're calling out John Jones. Yeah, totally believable. Yeah. Totally believable. Yeah. It's because they want to sell you the shake before the sizzle runs out. Adesanya, Rousey, Cyborg. Let's jump to that. Vivian, come here, girl. We're going to talk about female MMA. Get your booty in here.
Yes.
Oh, you in the kitchen. Okay. I want to see, you saw the Cyborg fight?
With Nunes?
Yes.
Yes.
Good job. Okay. Here's why Cyborg really lost. Because this was the first time Cyborg didn't have the I'm kind of mannish. Advantage over everyone. And I know this is 2018 and you got to be worried because everyone's easily offended. And instead of letting people be offended and dealing with that and realizing the reason why they're offensive is some unwanted perception that they don't want to realize within themselves. And I just resonated with what I'm saying. I have to be worried about saying anything. Fuck that. I don't care. Sorry, Viv. Cover your ears real quick. Thank you. Daddy has to get this out. I might be a bad parent. I may now have Dyfus called on me. I've seen people on the internet call family services for someone giving their kid an ice cream. Who knows? I don't care. I'm going to say Cyborg was beating everyone because she has the body frame. You ever notice how Cyborg and Vander da Silva are never in the same room? You ever notice that? They're never in the same room. I've never seen them together in a picture. We need to get that fixed. Until that, I believe that's I think Dana White really blew up some Illuminati conspiracy. That's really Vanderlei, okay? That's Vanderlei Silva, and he resurged his career, okay? He just did the Fallon Fox. He tucks it in and gets a wig. And you think she looks like a man because of, like, she has upper, like, I'm Puerto Rican. I've seen a lot of Puerto Rican chicks that the old ladies, they got thick mustache on the upper lip. Thick. They're women. They had kids. They got boobs and a vagina. But they got that thick mustache. Thick. It's a man-ish look. Cyborg has a man-ish neck. She has man-ish hands. A man-ish feet. She has a man-ish voice. Respect me. Like, and I know it's like, damn, you're going hard. But what do these things really say? She used to train and shoot a box. Which is in Brazil. Shoot a box that was in Pride smoking people. Where in Brazil to start a steroid cycle in the 90s and early 2000s, the basic package was $50. Steven Quadros and Bas Rutten were talking about this on one podcast. I can't even remember because, God, this was like in 2001. It was on Share Dog. But it was true, and I was like, damn, that's why it's easy access for these fighters. Look at Cyborg's neck. I don't care if she's not juicing no more. What about the 10-plus years she wasn't, the 15, 14 years she was in the UFC? You think she wasn't juicing then? And there's no leftover residual improvement to her bone structure, muscle density, bone density? Come on now. Y'all smoking crack. That's like, oh, trans, women can do what a man can do. That's why when you hear these domestic violence situations involving, mind you, UFC women fighters versus their boyfriends, I haven't heard, and I'm not trying to like crap on Rachel Ostrovich, but I didn't hear that she beat up her boyfriend. I heard that he almost killed her. And I believe they're both UFC fighters. A man with MMA skill versus a woman with MMA skill, and it's wrong. Domestic violence, I just want to say, I am disgusted by. I would gladly piss in his Gatorade. Gladly. Gladly. I have no respect for men that put their hands on women. Closed-fisted, open hand, grabbing hair, all that. Listen, just get out. Leave her, get out. If she destroys your stuff, let that go. Trust me. But I'm just using as a pinpoint. If a woman can do exactly what a man can do, and there's no difference, why are these female fighters getting beat up severely by their boyfriend fighters? There's obviously a difference in bone density, muscle structure, where the skill, it doesn't matter if she is Bruce Lee. The size is too much. Why did Cyborg look so dominant? It wasn't because she's technically proficient, because Vivian, Cyborg isn't technically proficient. You understand that?
Yes, yeah, I'm much aware of that. She just has serious punching
power. She has power.
She has a whole lot. She's a one-hitter quitter.
One-hitter quitter. Cyborg touches you, you're going to sleep. You ever notice, though, that Cyborg looks like a carbon copy of her ex-husband, the original Cyborg Santos? R.I.P. to his skull, by the way. But their styles, are the way they throw punches is basically the same. So what happened? Why did she lose Amanda Nunes? Because she finally met a woman. Side note, Amanda Nunes is kind of mannish. She's what we would call a stud. I don't know if this is still PC. They used to call them dykes in the hood. Butches. She's very mannish. There's no femininity in her. She has like maybe an extra testosterone molecule. She may have a picogram of testosterone more than everyone else. That's a little John Jones snide. But Amanda Nunes doesn't look as demure as Miesha Tate. And when they fought, it looked like Miesha Tate didn't belong in that ring with Amanda Nunes. When she fought Ronda Rousey, it didn't look like she belonged in that ring with Nunes. The only one, and this don't mean nothing because I'm kind of going against my own theory, but it's rare, sexy Kat Zingano with her luscious thickness. She has seemed to have more thickness and muscle mass to hold off the physical strength and aggression of Nunes. I don't know about now because Megan Anderson's gorgeous toe. I'm sorry, Megan Anderson and Kat Zingano was the sexiest MMA fight I ever saw. I don't care about the weird. I don't care about the weirdness. And I'm great. My kid has her headphones on. She's on the laptop. I just tap her when I want her in because I know I can say crazy stuff. She's looking at me like, Dad, what are you saying? If only you knew, child. If only you knew. Viv, you with me?
Yeah,
what's up? Okay. I was talking Megan Anderson versus Kat Zingano fight.
Oh, Zingano, yeah.
Right. Remember how thick Kat Zingano looked compared to Megan Anderson?
Yeah, muscle density-wise, yes.
She was thick.
Even though Megan was taller, she had more muscle density when it came to, like, you know, thickness as well.
That's why I believe Kat Zingano beat Nunes.
Yeah, it's a very possible theory. Yes.
Probable.
Probable theory.
Anything's possible. That thickness. Why was Ronda Rousey beating all these chicks? Because she was a little more thicker. Now, I'm not saying she's a lesbian or anything like that. I'm not saying every woman who has muscle is a lesbian. But when you look at Amanda Nunes, who is lesbian, and Cyborg, who... on a side note, and I'm not trying to... But you know, Cyborg is married to the guy, the MMA fighter, who's famous for breaking his manhood in Thailand. Y'all can look this up. I did. I didn't make this up. He literally had a sexual encounter that resulted in a fractured penis, and he had to get it fixed. This is the man that married Cyborg. I just take that for what you will. I'm not trying to imply it, but that just screams beard. So, these two females at the top of the female movement kind of have manist qualities that made them just stand above head and shoulders of everyone else. So when they fought each other and a slugfest ensued, Amanda Nunes, the longer, taller fighter, landed first because Cyborg used no slipping, no parrying, no head movement. It was just a shootout. And what happens when two people have a shootout? It's really a luck of the aim, luck of the draw. Who you take away more of chance of you controlling it than you falling victim to the uncontrolled of it. And Cyborg reverted to her old form. She's a brawler. She wasn't the greatest woman MMA fighter because she had this wide variety of skill. It's because she punched like a man. She fought like a man. She just bombarded. Holly Holmes was like a boring fight. Just Holly couldn't, for every two Holly landed that kind of maybe affected Cyborg, but not really, Cyborg would land one and you would see Holly think back to when she was five picking flowers in her mind. Like it took her out the matrix and she had to bring it back. You just saw the impact was always more pronounced on Holly than Cyborg. And Holly is a known boxing champion. It looked like she had no business being in the ring with Cyborg. Like, it wasn't like, oh, shit, she has her hurt. It wasn't like it was just back and forth, Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker, Seesaw. It was just Holly going, doing those, kya, kya. Holly doing that, keep away, do something, keep away. Holly fights really, really scared. Holly is the female Uriah Hall. She thinks too much. You see it. Cyborg is no thought, all I will destroy you. I am the champion. And you could see that. It's another sizzle and shake. Cyborg wasn't the greatest MMA fighter, woman's MMA fighter. I think that still goes to Megumi Fuji. And I don't know if I'm saying the name correctly, but she was a Josh Barnett product. That may be the greatest female MMA fighter. But you never hear her name. It's Ronda. I'm kind of pretty, so guys want to maybe think about me sexually, and that's what sells me Rousey. Because in reality, Ronda Rousey was a rush to the top in a fledgling division. She was the first Hoist Gracie. Women's MMA couldn't keep up with her pedigree because she was doing judo since the age of 10. And she was physically gifted. And she stayed away from Cyborg because if you remember, she was a 145er in Strikeforce too until UFC created the Bantam 135 because they kind of knew Cyborg couldn't cut down to that. They knew that. Again, it's like the first UFC event. Okay, it was all staged by the Gracies, and they picked the dudes like Kevin Rossier and Zane Frazier and the other guys that you're like, really? Those are the best fighters willing to fight bare knuckle? The only real legitimate guy was Ken Shamrock. And granted, Hoist took him out. Great. But it wasn't like Hoist was thrown with eight other, well, there was a couple gimme fights. I mean, Fred Idish, Ron Van Cleef. I mean, come on, guys. I know the pickings were slim, but it was still staged by a Gracie, in my opinion. I never trusted it. Once I found that out, it's like when you find out the Declaration of Independence and the line, all men were created equal, was written by a bunch of guys that had slaves and were ripping teeth out their slaves' mouth for their own dentures. Like, if you think that the Constitution gives you rights and it was written by dudes who wrote that shit while they were torturing and abusing other human beings, y'all not missing the color, y'all missing the color of the Kool-Aid here. You're not getting the right flavor. It's the same thing with UFC and MMA. Y'all falling for the hype. There's no one that's really standing out no more legitimately. Conor was a fraud. Shit, Randy Couture might have been a fraud, man. Freezing his blood, then putting it back in his body. He wasn't fighting the heavyweights of pride. When Randy Couture and Tim Sylvia and Rich Franklin and all those guys who were the, you know, the early 2000s big names, those are the guys that Pride didn't have. What happened when Chuck Liddell went over Pride? He got lucky with that Overeem fight, kind of. He, you know, Mesger he beat. What happened when he finally beat Rampage, someone who was more technically proficient? Rampage dusted him. And did it eat? This is what I'm saying. Don't fall for the hype. Your boy right here. I'm not saying I know everything, but I damn sure know enough to maybe put you on the right check and be like, wow, that does make sense. Hey, Viv, you still with me?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I was just talking about the state of... Remember how Dad says how some of these guys look like the way UFC promotes them?
Yes, yes.
They're kind of fraudulent?
Yes.
Do you ever notice that? Like... Did Ronda Rousey, and you've done boxing, you do boxing.
Yes.
Remember when Ronda Rousey used to do her boxing stance?
Yeah.
Did that look like a boxing stance?
No, not at all. Nope. Mm-mm.
You know who she reminded me of? Hmm. The guy who plays Daredevil. Remember the Netflix show Daredevil? When Daredevil would punch the bag and the way he would hold his hands?
He did not!
He did, that was the Ronda Rousey stance.
Yes, that's actually
it was, yeah. Ronda Rousey's boxing stance is the same stance done by an actor in the show Daredevil, Charlie Cox. Okay? That's how you know she didn't know how to box. But everyone swore she could beat male boxers. She could beat female. I'm like, yeah, all right. Y'all believe that hype. Because if you hear it enough, it must be true. And the people in power know that psychological trick. They do it all the time. Tekashi 6ix9ine is a rapper and not a gay pop star. Like, all right, cool. Cool. The boy wearing Skittles in his hair. Man, Tekashi 6ix9ine is probably really Michael Jackson's son. He's probably not even really prison. The government pumping out these rap stars like Korean governments pump out pop stars. MMA is pumping out lies. I don't know all the answers, but I damn sure know the questions to ask. So I'm telling you, stay with your boy right here. Viv, is there anything you'd like to say? Take your headphones off, Viv. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything you'd like to say to the Doring fans out here? All two of them?
Well, mostly I'd like to say I hope everybody, you know, has a great day. I hope everybody had a great New Year and stuff. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Sorry, the video. And,
Uh-huh, come on. Cut this, come on.
Cut this up, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Dad's right. It is kind of correct. You know, they pump out fighters too fast, even though the fighters haven't really run into proper opponents to prove and test their worth. So that's my opinion. And I hope everybody has a great day. We'll see you next time.
And with that, folks, I'm going to go back to whipping her ass in this game. Remember, folks, it's better to be the predator than it ever is to be the prey. Giddy up.